This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you're in our audience. I trust the program encourages you and challenges you, blesses you, and perhaps makes you think. And for those of you who would like to contact me and would like to leave me prayer requests or comments on the program, go to my website, bdcministries.com. That's bdcministries.com. Ministries, all one word, all lowercase, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. There's other information that I think you'll find helpful on that website. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, we've been looking at prominent people in the Bible that have been that have spoken to me over the years, and their lives have been a lesson in many ways. And most of them that we've looked at have been lessons that were very positive. There's nobody but what has some defects in their lives, but most of them have shown positive roles for us to follow. But I'm going to look at a lady, and now I've mentioned that I'm going back through the Bible and picking up prominent women in the Bible. One of them that I'm going to look at, and I'm going to do it today, is called Bathsheba. And this role model, in my mind, is perhaps a negative role model. Perhaps it's a warning to some degree, but it also shows to us how gracious and merciful God can be, and how that a saved sinner can be used of God. And in this particular case, I think we're looking at David and Bathsheba, and both of them were probably, if we were to use New Testament terms, Christians before they committed the errors that we're going to look at. And yet, when they confessed their sin, and David in particular confessed his sin, God was able to use him. And David, through Bathsheba, through this gal that he committed adultery with, produced Solomon, and they were in the line of the Lord Jesus, in the kingly line as well. And so you're going to ask me, well, how can that be? How can a man who commits such error be used of God? And I guess my whole point is that as we look at this section, and we'll be reading some of the scripture about it in a few moments here, as we look at this section, that a sinner who confesses his sin, and even a Christian who gets away from God and makes an error and confesses his sin, is more usable to God than a self-righteous Christian. In the New Testament, we would call them self-righteous Pharisees that don't see that they have ever failed God. And so God shows that he is gracious, that he is merciful, and we would remember that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's from John chapter 1. Now, David, as we look at this story in 2 Samuel chapter 11, had stayed home from a battle that Joab was fighting for him. And there's some question as to whether he really should have been out there leading the battle. But nevertheless, Joab was fighting a battle, and David was at home enjoying himself. And he goes out on the roof of his house at night and sees a beautiful woman taking a bath. Now, my question is, why was she taking a bath in a place there where David could obviously see her? I can't believe she didn't know that she wasn't visible to others, and I'm not going to go there and make accusations that I shouldn't make. But David saw her, and he lusted after her. And in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 3, it says, "So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And so they knew who she was. And it would appear that David at that point didn't know who she was, although I've had some questions about that. But he was told exactly who she was. Now, when we look at her, we're going to see that she is the granddaughter of Ahithophel, a man who had been a close friend and confidant of David, or who confided, a close counselor is the word I'm looking for David, and he'd been his friend. But when Absalom goes to usurp the throne, we find out Ahithophel sides with Absalom. And I think we'll know why as we begin to look at the lineage of Bathsheba. Now, remember, Bathsheba is the daughter of Eliam. And when we come to David's mighty men in 2 Samuel 23, we find that Eliam is the son of Ahithophel the Gilonite. So Bathsheba was the daughter of Eliam, and Eliam was the son of Ahithophel, which makes Bathsheba the granddaughter of Ahithophel. Now it appears to me that we have a lesson here, because Ahithophel, when he sides with Absalom in that rebellion that Absalom has later on, trying to usurp the throne, when Ahithophel sides with him and finds out that his advice isn't being followed, that another man by the name of Hushai, his advice is being followed instead of his, he goes home and he commits suicide. And he's a picture, as I understand it, the Psalms give us his life and the end of his life as a picture, a type of Judas in the New Testament. And so we find out that carrying a grudge doesn't destroy the person you have the grudge against, it destroys you. And that's a hard lesson for us to follow. We can't get even, and Ahithophel couldn't get even because of what happened with Bathsheba. And we need to recognize that the Lord is the only one who has the right to judge sin. We're told to be a forgiving people, even as the Lord was forgiving when he said from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, when we look at that, we know that he's talking particularly about soldiers who didn't understand that they were crucifying the Messiah. But nevertheless, he has said that so that we too can recognize that forgiveness was provided at the cross. When we accept it, we're saved. Our sins are forgiven. And we then should have that same forgiving spirit for others. And the Bible in Ephesians tells us to let not the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, when you've been wronged, don't let that eat on you to the point where you become like Ahithophel, a grudge bearer, and end up being destroyed yourself because of it. But now, looking at David and his relationship with Bathsheba, he had committed this error and ultimately, through this war, had allowed Uriah to be killed. And I've wondered if Uriah the Hittite, while he was very loyal to David, he apparently was a recruit from the nations that they were supposed to have destroyed, but he apparently had seen the value of Jehovah and of David, and he was loyal to him. But I sometimes wonder if David wasn't still prejudiced against people that were not full-blooded Jews. I don't know. I read that into the passage as though maybe David felt that he had the right to do what he did, and even if he didn't have the right, that he wanted to do what he did. I'm not saying that David was a perfect representative of the Lord. He certainly was not. And so when he has Uriah slain, then Nathan, the prophet, comes to David to point out his sin. And that's a problem we have as prophets today. How do you keep your audience and keep your flock and keep your numbers up and keep your contributions up if you tell people that they're sinning against God? And yet the gospel is only good news to those who've accepted the bad news. And when we have the bad news is that we're sinners in need of a Savior, and that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the bad news. But the good news is that Christ died for sinners and that he loved us and wants to put away our sin. And he did that for David. And so Nathan uses a parable to explain to David that a rich man had taken a poor man's sheep to entertain company. And he didn't use his own sheep to do that, and he was a rich man. And David said, "That man shall surely die that has done this." Well, in David's case, he was saying, "I deserve to die," but he didn't know he was saying that. And so Nathan then points out to David that he was the man in 2 Samuel 12, 12 and verse 7, Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul." And then David, as we come down in this passage to verse 13, confesses his sin, and this is where God now is able to take control of the situation and use David in a right way. David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Now, he had sinned against Uriah as well, but he sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, "The Lord has put away your sin." In other words, you said that that rich man who took the sheep, the poor man's sheep, should die. That means you should die, because you've taken Uriah, who's the poor man, his wife, which was the equivalent of the poor man's sheep, you've taken her to be your wife, or to not to be your wife at that point, but you've taken her and defiled her. And David says, "I have sinned against the Lord." And David said, "The Lord also hath put away your sin. You shall not die." In other words, he wasn't going to hold him to the standard that he had set for this rich man. And so, basically, now there's consequences associated with his sin, even consequences for Bathsheba. We find out that probably the cover-up of the sin, the murdering of Urijah, was more important to the Lord than the original sin. If we were to go back to 1 Kings 15, we read about Abijam, who became a king in Israel for a short period of time. He walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord, his God, as was the heart of his father David. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by setting up his son after him and by establishing Jerusalem, because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And so the murder of Uriah the Hittite was extremely important in this issue of in this sin. And as a result of David's sin, he had a number of sons that died. He had Absalom rise up against him, and the Lord had said that the sword would not depart from his house. And so there were consequences. But we do see in this that the Lord is gracious, and we want to remember that if we confess our sin, if it's pointed out to us and we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. When we make mistakes, we need to confess that we've made them. The Bible is the standard, but God is a forgiving God. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and David was shown grace after he confessed his sin, and Bathsheba became the wife of Solomon. And I don't fully understand, frankly, why Bathsheba was given that exalted position. I don't understand it, but God, in his mercy and grace, used her, and she is an example of what one who is perhaps morally defective can do in the presence of God when the sins are confessed and when the Lord comes alongside and says that he does want to use a forgiven sinner. He wants to use us. Our Heavenly Father, bless this lesson. Bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen.